Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I have a very special guest with me on tonight's broadcast. Seth Hauser has been here at the ranch running our camp, which is Camp Arrowwood, for decades. Isn't that neat to be able to say that? It's been decades. So, Seth, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk about camp and what the Lord's done and what the Lord is still doing on the on our campus.
Now, I want to say this right at the start. I hope that a whole bunch of people who hear this are going to say, wow, I want my kids to go to Camp Arrowwood. But that's not why we're doing this, because Camp Arrowwood fills up and has a waiting list immediately every year when you go online and open it up. So this is not a recruitment tool here. I'm not doing this so that our listeners will all send their kids and we can fill up our camp. Our camp is full.
Right.
But we want folks to know about Camp Arrowwood because God is doing something wonderful here. Tell us about how you got involved with Camp Arrowwood and what you've seen in terms of God's work over the years.
Right. Thank you. Right. Yeah. So in 2002, I graduated from college at Berry College in North Georgia. And I remember speaking with you on the phone, and I'm friends with your son, who is now in a position of leadership at Ware's Valley Ranch. And we discussed over the phone how your vision was always to have a summer camp. And, I believe we only talked once or twice on the phone. And I remember when I said, yes, I'll come up there. I'd prayed about it a little bit, but I was sick with mono that whole semester. And so most of that semester is a blur to me. So there wasn't this epiphany. Here's what God's saying. Here's what I want you to do with your life. It was more, okay, well, I've prayed about it. That's an area I'm gifted in. Sounds like a good start. And I've tried to be faithful to the Lord in that. And we've had growing pains, but the Lord has blessed our ministry. And I'm still in touch with a number of staff. I was talking to a staff 3 days ago who served in 2004. And he was just telling me how working at camp was one of the tools that God used to change his life the most. And just thankful he was. And he's a successful businessman. And he didn't say, hey, that internship I missed out is the biggest regret of my life. It was like, no, like working camp was one of the biggest blessings of my life.
Praise God.
But anyway, yeah, how did I come to camp ministry? I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and my parents did not allow us to have video games. So we spent a lot of time outside. So I had two brothers and two sisters in a neighborhood of friends. And if it was not raining outside, we would be outside playing. And if it was raining, then we would try to play on the main floor of the house. We'd quickly get kicked to the basement by my father. And so we would either be outside playing or we were downstairs playing. And it's true. There's no better way to connect with someone than through movement and playing. And so my senior year of high school, a director from a camp in North Georgia mountains called, asked my dad if I'd consider being a counselor. Mm-hmm. I don't have a whole lot of plans. And so I agreed. And man, as soon as I got up there and started working, I could just tell that it was that, wow, I've played games and done things like that, but man, the Lord can use camp ministry to absolutely change kids' lives and change and change staff's lives too. And so there are a number of people, I mean, of your radio listeners, I don't know what percentage would say my life was changed at a summer camp or at a missions camp, but God will use those times when people step out of their normal lives. And nowadays, get away from technology is one of the main benefits of kids coming to summer camp. You leave technology and you have an encounter with people who love Jesus.
Amen.
So I've been here 20 years almost. I love it. I love camp ministry. And I had a word from just somebody at the other camp I went to just said once to me casually, "Hey, like I saw you out on the field today, man, you should really think about doing that for the rest of your life." And so that was, I mean, the Lord kind of used that to kind of encourage me. So I'll tell people that oftentimes, like if you have a word of encouragement for somebody, just say it, because the Lord might use that to greatly encourage somebody.
Amen. Our goal with the campers and with the staff is that they'd grow closer to the Lord. And we have a lot of campers who come from, let's say, very unchurched backgrounds, not a spiritual environment in the home that's pointing them toward Christ. And yet at camp, they find that there are people who care about them, who are credible witnesses, believable witnesses to the gospel. But we also have a lot of kids who come here from very churched backgrounds, strong evangelical homes where they're taught the scriptures. And yet when they get here and they're in this context of just building relationships with kids their own age and with these counselors, in that setting, many of them have said over the years, you know, I really understood the gospel for the first time.
Right.
You know, I'd heard it before. It wasn't that it was unfamiliar, but it was like it clicked all of a sudden. And we have kids who pray to receive the Lord while they're here at camp. And we have other kids who get home and say to their parents, "I want to pray to receive Christ."
Right, right.
And they get saved after they're home. But God is the one who's doing the work before they ever get here. He's the one who brings them. And again, parents have a variety of motives for their kids coming here.
Absolutely. You
know, sometimes it's because they really want their child to have a spiritual experience. Sometimes it's because they just want a week away from their kid.
Right.
But you know what? And sometimes it's because their child is saying to them, "This is where my friends are going."
Right.
But God uses all those things in order to accomplish his plan. And
right.
So when we see kids whose lives are changed, what percentage of the camp staff is former campers?
Yeah, I was looking at that last year and the year before, and I think maybe out of about 35 staff members, two of them were not campers, and one of them was the brother of a camper, and he said, "Man, I wish I would have gone here when I was a kid."
Yeah. Well, I think that speaks volumes that, you know, folks who were campers want to come back and give back and invest in the lives of campers now the way that someone invested in their lives when they were at camp. And the staff is not coming just to be a big camper. It is work. It is serious work. You invest in the lives of these kids, you know, all day long.
Yes. The same as our ministry here at Where's Valley Ranch. It will most likely be, it'll be the most rewarding job you ever do in your life. It'll also be the hardest job you ever do in your life. And you'll have these moments of praise God. That is amazing. God just absolutely blew our expectations. And you'll have moments of, "I'm exhausted. I'm tired." And for our camp staff, a big reason that they can kind of stick a flag at Camp Arrowwood for the rest of their life is it's the first time in their life where they've really had to depend on the Lord.
Yes.
Maybe they go on a mission trip as a high schooler and I did a couple days here and then I got to come home. I did a couple days here and then I got to come home. Or I went and served for a couple hours and those are great, but at camp, it's a 7 week. I was going to say 7 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, but
sometimes you're up in the night.
Sometimes you're up in the night. Exactly.
Seth, when you came here, as you've indicated, you did not picture yourself at this age, married with kids, running this camp. I mean, that was, you weren't looking that far ahead.
Right.
But as you look back, is it real clear to you that God pictured you here?
Yes. I've definitely grown into this job, and you, I mean, you've been very gracious to, you know, kind of help, you know, direct me. I mean, look, our mission at Camp Arrowwood is, it comes from Psalm 127:4, and I should have said this a long time ago, and that is, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And so yes. Our mission here is to point kids to Jesus.
Yes.
And some parents, that's not even on their radar.
Yep. But
for me, that's just become more and more focused, and you've kind of helped keep me focused. When I was 23 and came here to camp, well, I didn't have any children. And so my perspective on what safety and some things looked like was a little bit different than now that I have a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And so,
yeah,
I didn't know that I was going to be here for, you know, 18, 20 years. But I can see how it was the exact place God wanted me. And I've had people who love me, and I've just grown and grown and grown with this position. And I'm thankful for it.
Amen. God has blessed you with an absolutely wonderful wife. Amy, actually for a while was my assistant and did a great job. And Amy still is one of the two individuals who do a great job editing my interviews with people and my preaching, so that it'll fit the time slot. You're blessed with a wonderful wife. You've got three precious kids. You've been an elder in your church locally, over in Maryville, half an hour away. It's not as if all you've done while you've been here is camp. You've right. also been our lead guy in dealing with our volunteers. And here at the ranch, we get typically about 400 volunteers a year, which is a lot of people and a lot of logistics and a lot of relationships to manage there. Right. And you've done a superb job with that. And you also do our recreation program for the kids at the ranch year round. So you're a busy man, and please know that not only are we grateful, but we also have confidence that the Lord is rewarding you and will reward you for what you do as unto the Lord.
I appreciate that. And just to talk to your listeners about the two programs you just mentioned, is one, I think your listeners are aware that we're a home and school for children, but I would encourage them to go to the website, wvr.org, and watch the video that kind of tells it gives you a brief glimpse into a student's life, and you can see the recreation facilities.
Yep.
But it was you and your wife's, you were very intentional with the recreation program to have an hour and a half of recreation every day. So being out in God's creation is not something that we just kind of sprinkle in and throw out some dodgeballs in a fluorescent lit gym, but we are outside for an hour and a half every day. And for a lot of our students, that's where a lot of their growth happens.
Absolutely.
Just please, to your listeners, check out, see what this place looks like. And the kids can't help but think about who created this when they're outside playing Amen. In the Smoky Mountains.
Amen. And as you well know, our approach to recreation has not only been about the outdoors, but about teaching kids that while competition can be fun, cooperation and encouraging others are things that need to be cultivated even in the midst of recreation.
Right.
So it's not about creaming your opponent.
Right.
It's about learning self-control and about actually doing teamwork.
Right.
And, we've had some kids over the years with tremendous athletic ability, and we've had other kids with tremendous ambition. Not always the same kids.
Right.
But
right.
But you've done a great job of taking a different approach to recreation and adapting what you challenge the kids with according to who's in the group. You might, for some of the rec activities, you might have kids who are elementary age and kids who are high school age, and you're a genius at coming up with ways to involve everyone safely and still having a wonderful time. And that is, you know, that is no small feat, but
right, yes,
you do a great job with that.
Yes. We will always make sure that, that the people who have the larger bodied people know where the 8-year-olds are, because physics is physics, and you can't get around two bodies colliding of different mass size. But yeah, one thing in our rec program, it's a part of their healing to be here at the ranch. And we try to be very careful about what behaviors we encourage and praise. And mm-hmm. So we were playing basketball yesterday, and if a basket scored or something like that, we try to be very intentional. I will not go up and say, "Hey, good job, you scored a basket." I'm going to try to find the person who maybe threw them the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, "Hey, great job. Hey, way to look at others. Hey, good. You got an assist. Like, that's great." We will even sometimes reward. We'll say, "Hey, if you score a basket off an assist, that's double points." So the behaviors that we praise are the ones that they want to repeat.
Yep.
And so if all we talk about is winning and scoring, then that's kind of the only thing they're going to think about. And so I'll even talk to camp parents about this sometime. It's like, well, when your child gets off practice, or when your child gets when the game's over, the first question to ask them is not, "Did you win and did you score?" Usually a statement is the best thing to say first. "Hey, I enjoyed watching you play today."
Mm-hmm.
"Hey, what's something you enjoyed today at your game?"
Mm-hmm.
And then, "Hey, how did you glorify God when you were playing today?" Because if all you say is, "Did you win?" Well, if they say no, that conversation just went downhill. And so just positive affirmations. And so that's what we try to praise often at the ranch. And that's a big part of our recreation program and camp too.
Yep. And that really does change a kid's outlook. It's not that, you know, we don't think competition has its place. It does have its place, but its place is not number one.
Right.
And, you know, we've had kids who went from here in our year-round program to do, you know, very good things athletically when they left.
Right.
You know, getting a scholarship and that sort of thing. We've also, not just in athletics, but in other areas, one of the things I told people, I never would have guessed years ago that one of our students would go on to win a Tony Award on Broadway. You talk about competition.
Right.
That's fierce competition.
Right.
But when that young lady was asked about her journey to winning a Tony Award on Broadway, one of the first things she brought up was having had a difficult childhood and coming to a place called Ware's Valley Ranch, where she was able to catch up in her studies and heal, and then go back into the public school and then back onto college at University of Tennessee, and then eventually to Broadway.
Sure.
Now, we don't know when we're working with these kids in the summer or whether we're working with them year round. We don't know what God has planned for them, but God does.
Right.
And this is a part of that journey. Kids, I remember a kid who almost had to go home early from camp because of his behavior, whose life really was changed. The direction of his life was
right.
dramatically changed at that crisis point during camp. He was allowed to finish out the week, but he had to learn to control his temper. He hadn't threatened another camper, but he had acted menacingly toward a counselor.
Right.
And then he tried to act menacingly toward me. And
That's a poor decision.
Poor decision. But it really opened the door for very serious conversation and a real moment of truth for him. And he went on, I believe he's now a dentist, and his sister came to camp and has worked as part of your team for a number of years, and now is working with another ministry.
Right. She was inner city ministry. And I think that, I mean, what that boy needed to learn is the same thing that we all need to learn is, hey, I love you. I care about you. And I mean what I say, like you're not in yep. charge.
Yes. The kindest thing that we can do for our kids is to teach them that they are loved and that they are not in charge.
Right.
And then ultimately point them to Jesus, obviously. Yes. If all they know is they're loved and they're not in charge and they don't get pointed to Jesus, yes. then they're gonna have a fairly nice life on the way to hell.
Right.
But if we point them to Jesus as the one who, when all of us messed up, loved us anyway.
Right.
And came to save us, not just to show us a better way, not just to be a role model. He came to rescue us. And that old familiar story, the gospel,
right,
gets preached every year at camp, in not just by me. I do devotionals for the campers and staff, but it's not just me. Our staff all know the gospel and they know the Lord, and they work hard at prayerfully presenting the gospel in those opportune moments when kids are open and kids end up asking questions. Likewise, we have that in our year-round program. One of our kids from another state came up to our tennis instructor and said, "Can I talk with you?" And shared with that tennis instructor a tragic thing that had happened in that child's life years before. And she said, "You're the second person that I've told about this. The first person I told was when it happened. I told my mom, and she said, I must never tell anybody." Hmm. But that was a secret that was not to be kept. That was a story that needed to be told in order for that girl to find healing. We have wonderful counselors here. We have great house parents here. But the context where that girl felt, this is somebody I can talk to, it was her tennis coach. Hmm. And having those relationships, we don't know who God's going to use to reach a particular child. But God knows what he's going to do and who he's going to bring and how those relationships will open the door to a relationship with him. Seth, tell us, how quickly does camp usually fill up when you go online and open it up?
We opened registration mid-January this year, and there were two, we opened at 10 a.m. and at 10:01, we had two sessions that were on a wait list. And so we fill up really fast, and kind of what you were just speaking to about how the Lord works at different times and through different people. Those are conversations we have every summer with our staff. And I think this will encourage your radio listeners. Is some, there might be two cabins that are right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And this one cabin is just having these dynamic devotions, and kids are asking questions and they're praying. They're wanting to study the Bible even longer. And then you've got another cabin and they are just sitting there and not responding. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on. And so you can kind of have, it's yeah. almost like two parents, like, well, I'm doing everything right and the Lord is rewarding me and this is awesome. And the other parent, I'm seeing nothing and I'm working hard.
Yeah.
But I will always tell them the story of the girl who came to camp, and as she was leaving with her grandfather, was driving down our Lion Springs Road mm-hmm. and pulled over and prayed to receive the Lord a mile away from camp on her way home from camp.
Praise God.
Yeah, and it's God. Like, it's like, okay, did she get saved at camp? She gets, I don't care. Like, she's in the kingdom of God forever.
Amen. Amen. And that's what it's about.
Right.
That's what it's about.
So we're gardening and we're gardening and gardening and gardening and gardening. Parents are gardening, and I don't care who harvests at all.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm just happy that to garden here at Camp Arrowwood and to work alongside you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Folks, if you want more information, as Seth said, go to the website, wvr.org. You'll see a link to Camp Arrowwood. If they want to go straight to Camp Arrowwood's website, thebestcamp.com, right?
That's it, thebestcamp.com.
It doesn't get better than that. All right. God bless you all. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.